Gonna have great fun. You're gonna have great fun, and so are we. Amen. So, I don't know how many have had a chance to look at Reset this morning, but I felt like the theme today of day 15 was like the core passion of God in the middle of it. Takeaways so far from this book, or take Eric, you came in so excited about. Come on, man.
What'd you take it away?
Oh boy. Love. Love is the theme today. For me, yesterday actually was a turnaround because that one was obedience, and my pages are shredded from that one. And then this morning, I sat there and the sentence that jumped out at me was that it takes God to love God. And I, you know, at first I was like, wow, because, you know, that just crosses me right off the page. I can't, you know, how does that happen? But then all of a sudden I got this spark in my mind. I said, you know, you are the temple of God. God resides inside of you, and that's where the center is. And so I was just totally fired up by the fact that God resides in every one of us. If you're a believer, God resides in there. And to bring in whatever, you know, we're told to lop off the sinful things and the things that distract us and throw them on the fire. Throw them on those embers that are just sitting there waiting. And let them fire up. And all of a sudden, I'm bursting with flames all over the place, and that's where it's at, and that's where we live there every single day if we give ourselves a chance. Just if we give ourselves a chance, we cast our fear into that flame, and then watch out.
Anyone else to take away something that's happening inside of you, Donna? Amen. She said that being in the Word to hear God's voice has been the aha moment for her.
I know that it was with me. I've been praying for Amy and also for my hand, and I know that he hears me every day, and I love him very much.
Amen. Amen. God's doing some good stuff. Anyone else want to jump up? Share anything? All right. Bold, courageous, all that good stuff. I want you to say out loud, I'm listening. I can hear. There was a couple that was beginning to age in years, and the husband started suspecting that his wife was having some hearing loss. So to kind of test out whether his suspicions were right or not, from a little ways away, she was sitting in the lounge chair reading the paper, and he said, honey, can you hear me? And there was no response. So he took a couple steps closer, and he said, honey, can you hear me? No response. So he got right up behind her. He said, honey, can you hear me? She looks up, says, "For the third time, yes." And what's kind of really striking me this week from the theme, if you will, of so much of what the author Bob Sorge has been saying in Reset is the importance of hearing and listening, the importance of his voice, recognizing it, hearing it, listening, taking it into your heart, receiving it. And, you know, we have no problem thinking about prayer as us talking. I don't know how many training sessions in prayer I've had since I became a Christian back when I was 23. And so many of the prayer trainings are teaching about the kinds of things to say, how to pray, talk in that sense. But as important as us talking and unloading is, even more important is what we hear and what he says to us, because it's his voice and his words that change our lives. It isn't what we say that changes our life as much as what he says. Yes, it is talking to God, but prayer is listening for his words. I'm going to ask Kay Johnson to come on up here. If you haven't met Bill and Kay yet, you need to do that because they're a great couple. They moved up here from the south because they missed the weather. And so, but Kay has a powerful story about how the Word of God just birthed a faith in her that brought a huge miracle to her.
Good morning. It was a little over 2 years ago, and I was diagnosed with a herniated disc in my neck. And that was the beginning of a really exciting time with the Lord, even though it doesn't sound like it could be. But I had been diagnosed with two different doctors, and they said the only way I was going to get relief was surgery. Well, I went to the Lord with that one. And he was so good. It took me a while, but I got a reassuring answer from him, a resounding, yes, I want to heal you. So what I did at that point was I set aside everything that had been keeping me company for the 4 months before that while I was waiting to find out how this was going to get fixed. I put aside my books. I put aside the television. I turned it off, and I left it off. And I filled my ears and my eyes with the Word of God. I brought together all my faith materials, and I listened. I filled those ears. It was just astounding. And you know, when I heard the Lord say, yes, I want to heal you, I instinctively knew what to do. He's so good about following through. I just basked in that. And more than just hearing and seeing the word, I spoke it. Constantly, the word was going in and it was going out. And it just reaffirmed everything that would build my spirit up. Well, this went on for days and days and days. And I went to the Lord, and this was day 14 now. I'm getting tired. But on day 15, I went to the Lord and said, could you just give me a boost, something to confirm that I'm on the right track, confirming your word to me. Well, he did. And he said, I went to the cross. I can still feel it. I went to the cross for you. I died so that you could have life. I went to hell so that you didn't have to. And then he said, wasn't that enough? Well, that hit my heart. It was such an impact that I literally felt a pain in my heart, like a dagger that had gone in. And it stays with me, and it stays with me. It built my faith. The Word of God is so mighty. My response to him was, Lord, it was more than enough. And I don't care how long this takes, I'm going to stay on the Word. That was day 15. On day 16, I woke up and my neck was healed. While I slept, he did surgery. Praise the Lord.
Amen. There's an 18-inch gap between the letters on a page and our ears. And then there's another 18-inch gap or so from our mind to our heart. And when the sound of his voice gets from the pages of the book to the sound of our ears and to faith in our heart, there's a transformation that takes place. And I want to read, I think, probably one of the most powerful parables that Jesus told this morning that has to do with the Word. And it's from Matthew chapter 13. And this parable is repeated. It's written in the book of Mark. And it's written also in the book of Luke. Luke, by the way, is basically, historically, it's established that Luke was writing Mary's version and memory of events. Mark is writing Peter's version, and Matthew's writing his own. So there's slight additions and things and points you can pick up from reading all three, but I'm just going to read one, and I might bring in a couple points from the others. But from Matthew chapter 13, Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, okay, we've seen the words, we've heard it read. Maybe another way to hear the story would be to hear it like a child might hear it if they were over in the World Changers or Little Lambs. And so let's see that same story Jesus told, presented another way. Denise, you got the video ready? All right, here's the story without words. Thank you. All right. Now the disciples are like, Jesus, what is that story all about? What is that all about? And so he gave them an interpretation of the parable, and I want you to listen to his interpretation. And as you're listening, listen for certain repeated words. Tell me what's repeated over and over again. Matthew 13, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Luke's version adds, the pleasures of life choke the word. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Luke chapter 8's version says, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So tell me, what are some of the words that are repeated over and over? Hear. Receive. Those are the two that most stand out to me. Hear and receive. And the seed is the same with every soil. The seed is the word of God. It's good. And the sower is casting it out. And the sower can be anyone who's casting the word out. It can be two parents, a parent reading to their child, a Bible, a children's Bible, casting seed upon the next generation. It can be the teachers over in Sunday school teaching lessons in their children's ministry classes. It can be someone speaking up in the workplace, taking a stand about something, taking a moral stand in a place where people are being tempted. It can be somebody just saying to someone, hey, God cares about you. Can I pray with you? And just praying a word of faith over them. It can be giving to missions and seeing the ministry go out to other nations, seeing the word get scattered overseas. It's all a way of sowing the seed. What's different in this case is that what Jesus is pointing out is the difference in the soil. There's different kinds of soil, and it's symbolic of our heart. So he talks about four different types of heart condition that determine whether that same seed, it's all good seed, What's it going to produce? Is it going to produce anything? Is it going to be the seed, number one, that's along the wayside? It says, when anyone hears the word and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, like that video where we saw the bird come and poke it off the road and devour it. And it strikes me that the word understand is key to this part of the parable. And that word, understand, it means a lot more. The context is much deeper than just, I get it in my head. The word has a context of I'm coupling a mental recognition of the meaning of the word with an experience. When Kay was taking in the word of God and hearing it in her through into her mind and hearing it in the ears of her heart, there was a place where that faith was birthed and a miracle happened. There was an experience, and when the Bible says he comes with healing in his wings, or he sent forth his word to heal, you can't take that away from her, because she not only heard it and gave mental recognition of it, but there's an experience now. You can't take that away. But if you just learn the Bible as a mental exercise, and there isn't experience coupled with it, then it just stays up high on the surface where the enemy can snatch it away. It's easy to steal away. If you don't act on it, when the Bible says that God cares about the poor, and you're not acting on that, then I can stand up here and preach about God caring for the poor, and you can sit there and say, amen, that's right, Pastor. And it's bearing no fruit. Because it's so easy to have mental understanding and not couple it with experience. If you don't act on it, if you don't take it deeper than that, it's easier to steal. They kind of get shoved up to the surface. That's why the thought, the concepts stay in our head when we hear it. But if we don't couple it with experience, or if we're not looking for experiences with God, encounters with God, we grow in knowledge, we grow in information, but we don't receive impartation from God, the kind of impartation that changes our life. Sometimes there are Christians who prefer to keep the Bible as an intellectual exercise rather than an experiential one. When the power of God is present and it's being demonstrated, there are Christians who pull away from that, like, whoa, I prefer to just keep it historical, like stories in a book and information. So people whose hearts are like the wayside will say, well, that's good for you, but it's not for me. The word always gets tempted. Even Jesus was tested on the word. At his baptism, what did he hear? He heard the voice of the Father. He heard the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then immediately after his baptism, it said the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And what was the test? The first words out of Satan's mouth were, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God. Wait a minute. I just heard the voice of my Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. If you're the Son of God, then do this. Okay, I'll have to prove it. No. I don't have to prove anything to you. I've got the experience. I've got the voice, I've got the word, I've got the truth, I've got the relationship with my Father, and you can't take that from me. You can't take it from me. That's the voice we're after. I just feel like God wants to deposit in us as a people a heart that wants to not just get in the Bible, which is awesome, but to be a people of his voice, a people of his presence, a people who crave to hear from him the things that will change us from the inside out. This is better preaching than you're letting on this morning. But I don't care whether you say anything or not, because it's the truth. The second soil is the seed. It refers to the seed that falls on the shallow, stony places. Verse 20 says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. That phrase, because of the word, jumps out at me. In the video, you saw some of the seed that went into the soil. But it was a shallow soil. They sprang up quickly. The seed were all happy and excited. And then the sun came up. And they started wilting under the heat. And sometimes people whose heart are shallow or stony, they can get excited about the things of God. And you think things are taken. In fact, they can look a lot like people with great soil hearts. They can look great coming out of the gate. Like, I love your church. I love what's happening. I'm going to get a Bible. They're just enthused about everything. And then all of a sudden, they disappear off the face of the earth. What happened? Well, some persecution came because of the word that got sown in their heart. Somebody said something. Oh, I never thought of you being a church person, or maybe there was a person, a boy or a girl they were interested in, and that person blew up in anger over the fact that they were getting religious, if you will. And so they had to make a choice. Do I want Jesus? Do I want that person? Persecution because of the word. It can come in all kinds of ways. Or maybe a person will build their faith on someone else's faith. They're building it on a relative. They're not really seeking the Lord for themselves. Or maybe somebody they knew who is a Christian, sinned and had a gross moral error or really disappointed them. And so they conclude those Christians are hypocrites. They're all hypocrites, which is just a horrible excuse, as if someday you're going to stand before God and say, Jesus, I made my decision about you based on what that person over there did. It is an excuse that won't hold water. But these are some of the kinds of things that can cause a person to say, yeah, I tried the Christian thing. It didn't work for me. Listen, Christianity is not a thing. It's a him. And he changes everybody who come to him and open their heart and receive his word in their heart. Psalm 105 verse 19 says, until the time, is speaking about Joseph of the Old Testament. And Joseph of the Old Testament had a promise as a young man that one day his family would bow down to him. But it says, until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Didn't it test him? Didn't it ever test him? I mean, he got sold as a slave. He got sold he got thrown in prison. He got disappointed right and left for decades. The word of the Lord tested him. But he believed. He refused to let go. He refused to sin. He refused to let go of his trust in God. And God brought it to pass. So just a bit of opposition, some temptation, some difficulties can cause some hearts to wilt. And it could be falling away from the Lord, or it could be just falling away from the promises. It could be receiving a promise from God and then letting your eyes get focused on the circumstances. You see the scripture that says, my God shall provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. Or you see the scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so you get all excited. And then 2 days later, a bill comes and you don't have the money. And you're like, oh, man, so much for that promise. It's nothing. And you let go of God's promises. Luke said they hold on to it with patience. Why is that? Why does it say with patience? Because I don't know about you, but when you plant seed in the garden, it doesn't start producing fruit the next day. You have to be patient. You have to have faith in seed. You have to have faith in seed. In the natural, don't you? You have to have faith in seed. If you're going to plant, you're going to plant grass seed, you have to have faith in the seed. Or you wouldn't throw it out there. The third kind of soil is the soil where the seed is cast on it and it's choked out by weeds and thorns. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, or some of the other other gospels say the pleasures of life or the desires for other things. They choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Now, this is the one I think that can most easily apply to us in this room. Because the truth is if your heart is like the wayside, hard and rocky, you probably aren't in here. You're probably not here today. But how many of us have distractions? And cares, and cause for anxiety and worry. We all do. There's all kinds of distractions. There's bad ones, temptations to do sinful things, and then there's legitimate cares. There's things like jobs and careers and bills to pay. Not Buffalo Bills. Bills. They're an anxious cause of anxiety also, but bills like the ones you pay. I grew up on a farm. I garden as a hobby, and the process of weeds choking out your plants is not an overnight thing. It's a gradual process. Sometimes it seems overnight, you know, like you lay out this garden, you got this beautiful rose, and you got the soil all worked up, and you put these plants in there, and they're sitting there really nice. Like, wow, that is some good German order right there. They're all in rows perfectly. You know, I love that orderly look. And then, you know, it seems like all of a sudden, where'd the plants go? And what's all that other green mess in there? It's just, but see, what happens is we have to work it. We have to nurture it. It looks like a giant weed patch. But there really was good seed sown in there. What's our, weeds don't have a problem getting established, do they? In the natural. Weeds just, they come easy. And the question is are we going to be diligent to guard the plants from the weeds? Whether it's temptation, whether it's worries, whatever it might be. Are we going to be diligent about that? Are we going to keep working it? Are we going to keep fighting the weeds and keep the focus on the plants that we're looking for fruit from? My dad used to, when I was a boy, maybe about Logan's age or so, he'd give me 10 cents a row to take a hoe and go out in the soybean field and go the whole length of the field and hoe out the big weeds. Now, he'd take a cultivator, an implement behind the tractor, and he'd go up and cultivate and dig out most of the weeds in between the rows. But the ones that were in between the plants that the cultivator couldn't reach, he'd send me out with a hoe. 10 cents a row. I thought I was getting rich, man. I go out, I got a suntan, and I made, you know, $1 a day at the same time. That was a pretty good deal for a bored farm kid who didn't have much to do in the summer. And but those weeds, they didn't need your help. And distractions don't need our help. They just come at us, and they come at us, and they come at us. And we've got to look at what are the things that choke out the voice of God. I love that image in the video. Sorry for letting my childlike side come out and letting you see that. But I love the one where those nasty-looking thorn bushes start coming up, and eventually you see those things getting bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden you just can barely see the little yellow plant down inside all the thorns and the thistles and all that. And it's just such a great picture of what happens when these things choke the word of God and keep it from bearing fruit. So what will choke out the voice of God? Well, the Bible says cares will. Cares will. Worries, in other words. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That's a fight we have to exert some faith energy there to be anxious for nothing. We have to stay connected. As it was said earlier, you know, that consistent connection to the Lord. Keep hearing his voice, to keep spending time with him, to keep lifting those things up that are beyond our control. I'm with you when you know, the just so many times of late, just throwing myself on the Lord in a fresh way, saying, God, I really need your help in this. Some serious, heavy things, some light things, just circumstantial things, saying, God, I just really need your help. And just seeing him come through. Be anxious for nothing. It also says, secondly, it says deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. And you don't have to be rich to be choked out by this. Because money isn't the problem. It's the love of money that is the root of evil. The third one it mentions is the desire for other things. the desire for other things. Desire for things greater than our desire for him. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When I think of the kingdom, I think of when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. When the kingdom comes, there's power, influence. And if I'm seeking first the kingdom, then I'm seeking that God's kingdom will come in people's lives and bring change and bring healing and bring freedom and bring salvation. I'm praying the kingdom come. That's what I want more than anything. I want the reign of Jesus Christ in my life, the circle he's put me in, the people I love. I want to see his kingdom come. So seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. I love how Bob Sorge mentioned that seeking first the righteousness of God. I want the righteousness of, not my righteousness, right? Because it says that Jesus became sin for us that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ. I want that righteousness, Bob says. Why do we want to seek the righteousness of God? So that we can stand boldly before God. And because he wants us close to him. He wants you in his presence more than you want to be in his presence. And so if we're seeking first his righteousness, we're seeking to stand in that righteousness of Jesus. We're not relying on our own goodness to pray every day and spend time with him. We're relying on his righteousness. Jesus died on the cross to make me righteous. If he didn't, if we could be righteous on our own, we didn't need that, but we all needed that. And so we're seeking first his righteousness as a basis for our relationship with him. And if I'm seeking that first, then I don't have any qualms about coming into his presence every day. If I'm seeking first his righteousness, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not hesitant. Yeah. Lord, we get to spend some time together because I'm in his righteousness. Not my own. There's no guilt, no shame holding me back, no darkness, his righteousness. Fourth thing that the Bible says chokes the word of God is the pleasures of this life, the pleasures of life. Now, God designed pleasures, but in his presence are pleasures forevermore. And when we get to that place where we're enjoying a pleasure that he grants us, and it's like, ah, this is so nice, that we start pulling back and planting ourselves in that pleasure of this life, forgetting about the pleasure of our relationship with him or the eternal pleasures that he has waiting for us. And those things become a distraction. The pleasures of this life become a thorn that choke us. So there's the wayside soil, there's the shallow, stony soil, there's the soil where thorns and thickets will choke it out. And then fourth, there's the seed sown on good soil. How many of you want to be that soil? The good soil is where the seed is sown and the roots go down deep. And it draws on the nutrients and the moisture in the soil, and it bears fruit. The Bible says 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. And we make a mistake if we think that means 30, 60, or 100%. It doesn't say that. It says 100-fold. If I put in $100 in an offering and I get 100% back from the Lord, that's $200. But if I get 100-fold return, that's 100 times 100. That's 10,000. When our hearts are right before God and we are enduring hardship and we're patient and we're believing the promises regardless of the difficulties that come, and we're not ashamed of the gospel, so that when the difficulties come, we wilt under the pressure, but we hold fast to our faith in Jesus Christ, then we won't just, it isn't that like, well, God will take you to heaven, you are saved, and maybe if you're lucky, you'll take one more person that would be 100% return. No, he wants 100-fold. He wants you to bring 100 back with him. And he says, really, the choice of which soil our hearts are is up to us. It's up to you which soil you have. It's not just a condition you're born with. It's up to you whether you want to plow up the hard ground and repent of the things that are hard in your heart that keep it from getting in, or if it's up to you if you want to weed out the weeds and stay on it and keep the distractions away and fight through them and know I'm going to come through. It's up to you if you want to endure hardship through this, when the sun beats down on you and difficulties come because of the word, because of your faith in Christ. It's up to you which soil you'll be. The good soil, he says, they hear, they receive. You said, you saw the words jumping off the page. He said they hear it, they receive it, they accept it, they endure with patience the hardship that comes. Lori, would you come, please? Let's stand together. And altar teams, if you'd come, make yourself available. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you'll be my disciples or my followers." Jesus says, this is what you're born for bearing fruit. This is what you're born for hearing my word, accepting it, receiving it, believing it, enduring with patience, trials that come because of it. I just sense there's some here today that maybe you're just kind of fearful. You could be described, just close your eyes, forget about what anyone else is doing right now. Maybe you're just fearful of letting go and totally trusting Jesus. You're just kind of fearful of going deeper with God. What will people say? What will that person say that I care about so much? What if they don't like me? Will I take a risk and trust Jesus to meet my needs? God wants to deposit a fresh grace to endure tests like that. He's good. He won't be your debtor if you trust him to go deeper. He'll give back to you. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not the next day. You're going to have to endure. But you can trust him. Let go. You don't have to preserve your life. It's not self-preservation here. It's self-abandonment that God's looking for. Self-abandonment. He'll take care of preserving you and your soul forever. And the second call I want to make today is to those you feel like, man, distractions have just cooled the fire in my relationship with Jesus. Desire for other things, or worries, just let things grab my attention and pull me away from the simplicity of Christ. And God, I'm sorry. If you're in either of those two categories, just don't worry about anyone else around you. Just eyes closed. Just lift up your hand and say, "Oh, that's me. I want to let go with abandonment. This isn't about self-preservation. I'm abandoning myself to trust you, Lord." Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God, just ask for your grace. We just pray, Lord, your grace right now, that fresh trust to leave you with things we've worried about, to leave you with that tendency to try to control and clutch on to things that keep me comfortable. Lord, I let go of those things. I let go of those things. God, come on, let's let go. Just between you and the Lord, let go of those things. Trust him. Father, I pray your grace to let go. I pray for your grace to trust you for tomorrow and the day after and the year after, on to your old age. Lord, I trust you. I trust you for all my needs. Nobody in this room is starved yet. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. For all my needs. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray the grace to embrace, receive, to hear your words. And I pray in these coming days, weeks, months, that we would be a people of your voice, a people who crave, desire, and love your voice. Thank you, God, for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, these two teams would love to pray with you this morning. And I want to say especially to the Bolton family, Amy, our hearts are with you. We're praying for you. Amy lost her father this week. Just pray that God the Father will fill every void. And if there's anything this family can do, we love you, and we're with you. Don't be afraid to ask. Amen, folks. So go ahead and hug on the Boltons today. But listen, if you need prayer about anything before you go, these two teams would love to pray with you. God bless you.